Welcome to the Moan Free Monday podcast. It takes courage to walk your own path. But living your true nature will make you a medicine for the world. My name is Sandra Brandt, a creative human being like you are.
Richard Ayling.
Welcome, Richard, all the way from Portugal. Do you live there?
Lovely to be here. I do live in Portugal. Yeah, I'm here in Lisbon.
Yeah. Well, I saw your name in the book of Wim Hof, and I was very interested in your story. Well, it's just a short piece of your story, of course. And then you were, well, happy to get introduced here in the podcast. Welcome. Is this the first time you're in the Netherlands with a podcast?
I've been on a few podcasts here and there over the years, and I'm a huge fan of the Netherlands, actually. I love Amsterdam, Amarong, and, you know, I have friends in all over. I think it's an amazing place. Your language is a bit difficult for me to learn. I'd like to try one day, but yeah, I'm a big fan.
And did you live in Bali before?
Yes. Yeah, I was in Bali for about 3.5 years until kind of round about COVID time, when I then came back to Europe.
Yeah. And where are you from originally?
I'm English originally. I left when I was about 26 to travel, and then I found a home in Germany. So I'm actually German. I got a passport there. So kind of a mix of nationalities and cultures. But yeah, finally settling in Portugal.
Well, we're all human beings from Mother Earth, huh? So it doesn't matter.
That's the concept, right? We're all different in some way, and how to find out and celebrate those differences.
Yeah. Well, I saw your name in the book of Wim Hof, and it says that you went through a difficult time period in 2006. You suffered from an autoimmune disease, depression, didn't look after yourself as we, well, could do in the most optimal way. And then you went through a period that you saw you had to do other things other choices to make in lifestyle, in food and everything, but then still you couldn't eat everything you wanted, you couldn't do anything you wanted, and then you met the Wim Hof method. Well, from here I want to give you space to talk about this in that time.
Sure. I mean, you've kind of given the backbone of my experience. Would you like me to speak more to what you've started, or just pick it up from there?
Yeah, just how it started is good.
Sure. So I can only speak from my own life and experience, but I know there are other people that, you know, have resonated with my story. So I found myself when I was 25, you know, it's quite a young age, but I'd been a musician and quite a creative human before that. And I think at some point I just didn't have the belief that I could really be myself and make a living from doing, you know, these things that make me happy. And so I just found, let's call it regular work, where I couldn't get to be myself and play music and, you know, be creative. And I was working in a bar restaurant. I think 2 years before that, I was selling hi-fi and home cinema, you know. And let's not say that there's anything wrong with these jobs, but if you're not passionate about either of these things, then perhaps you're in the wrong place. And that's where I found myself. And so, after not really taking care of myself, and it's easy to just have an extra drink from the bar if you're the manager, and wasn't really taking care of my health and my body, and my mind was not in a great place. And perhaps you can relate that when you're in a job and you don't feel like you're really going anywhere, and there's nothing to look forward to. And my relationship was in a similar space. And I think if we don't address the problems that we're facing, and we just bottle things up, as we say in English, then, you know, something's bound to go wrong. And for me, that was a lot of anger, a lot of frustration, and a lot of depression, a sense of real powerlessness. And, you know, what's the point? And that's not a good place to be in. And so one day I just woke up and without being too graphic, you know, I realized suddenly there was something very wrong with my body and I had to go to hospital. And it's what we would call a wake up call. No, it was terrifying in the moment because passing blood, for example, from you know, being feeling normal to then suddenly, oh, hang on, it was very scary. So getting checked up and then when doctors say, okay, we need to do more tests, it's quite a scary thing to hear. And if I skip to the end of the story, you know, doctors telling me back then that I had an autoimmune disease called ulcerative colitis. So it's similar to Crohn's disease. It affects the bowel. And they gave me the option of having a colostomy bag, you know, a replacement bag.
Wow.
And I asked, do I have to do this? Because that's quite a long-term decision. And they said, no. It wasn't the most severe form of the illness, thank God. But it was enough for me to realize that I needed to make some real changes in my life, you know.
So what was your age at that time?
I was then, by then I was, yeah, 25, turning 26.
Wow. So to summarize a bit your story, thanks for sharing, is that in a way you left yourself by stop being creative and start working in the Wi-Fi or the bar to make money so you can live, but it became surviving mode. And the whispers of your body turned into a scream in that particular morning. So there you were in the hospital and the doctor told you, maybe we have to make an external, well, how do you call that in English? Stoma in Dutch, but yeah. And then you had that wonderful question, do I have to do this? And there, and then you were there 25, 26. What happened then?
I really realized that the course that my life was on was not serving me, you know, and I wasn't grateful for the illness at that time because I was taking a lot of medication that was giving me.
And you had a lot of pain, I read.
My God. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, again, without being graphic, you can imagine what that area of the body and the problems that that causes, but you know, hours not going anywhere, unsure of what I could eat that would give me maybe more pain, cortisol. So to try and balance my hormones and try and reduce the inflammation, that was the idea. And it worked, but that gave me chronic insomnia. it was a really difficult period. And again, a sense of real powerlessness. And so I decided to, quit my job, to leave the relationship, to change my life, basically, to try and work with this illness somehow and listen to the wake-up call it had given me. And I basically started to work in creating and writing music just for a little while. I found some work doing that so I could save up and then just travel the world and just find out what's
out
there.
Just to interrupt you a little bit, you said I decided to work with the illness. So before you said I wasn't happy with the illness, of course, because I was on medication, I had a lot of pain, there was a chronic insomnia, so you wanted to sleep all the time. And then there was a moment you said you were starting working with the illness. Where was that inside? Where did it come from? Suddenly, or because your language is changing in the story.
Yeah, sure. I mean, a friend gave me a book on ulcerative colitis and Crohn's disease. And back then, I think there maybe were a couple of forums online, but we didn't have Facebook groups and anything like today. And I read the book and the first chapter, I remember it clearly, the title was, It's Not Your Fault. And it was, you know.
Wow, and that gave me goosebumps.
Yeah, it didn't really land. It was kind of something felt off with that. And it was, and some of the people I was connecting with in these forums to just try and help me understand what this was, they were, it just felt very, yes, nurturing, but also kind of, look, this is how the illness is, this is how your life is now. You know, it kind of put me, or I felt that I was in a quite a victim type space. Like, this is happening to me. Mm-hmm. And that didn't land. I'm really grateful that I was like, I don't want to swear, but you know, like, fuck this. You're like, no.
is it like you first you were fighting against this, you didn't want to that it was there, and then suddenly because you read that phrase of it's not your fault, you're seeing in the moment that it's here now.
It was more
and you
a
can
case
work
of
with it.
No, it was more like there was no fight initially. There was just collapse. Initially, there was like, okay, I'm sick and this is happening to me. Nothing I can do, more powerlessness. And then with, you know, with the book and the support that was quite beautiful, then the realization that is, you know, it's almost like going to Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, people go there every week and they identify with being an alcoholic. And that's a very different thing. Let's, you know, we can talk about 12-step programs and the support that's needed there to an addiction. But this isn't an addiction. This is an illness that I have agency over. I didn't realize that. And a lot of people don't. You know, they take this kind of, okay, this is happening to me. No, like I wanted to, then the fight came up and it's like, I don't want to identify as like, hi, my name is Rich. I have ulcerative colitis. Like, no, I'm grateful for that. So then the fight and the belief that, okay, that approach isn't going to get me anywhere.
Yeah, it's going to keep me again.
In the life that I've already had, which is okay. I'm working in a bar. Nothing's happening. So it's like it made me wake up and stand up and decide, as
and
you
then
said,
you start
to
making
work
music
with.
Again.
Like, what happens if I do something different here? You know, like it's very easy to think that when you get such a clear signal that the way life is going is actually not helpful. Does that make sense?
Wow. Yes. Of course, wonderful, wonderful journey as well. And then what happened with the medication?
I mean, I was taking it. When I went traveling around the world for a year, I had to take medication with me. So half of my rucksack was just full of this stuff, which caused a lot of entertaining
troubles.
Moments in customs and, you know.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But I had a letter, and it, as long as I remember to pack it with me when flying, then everything was fine. But I would say if we skip forward, I was, you know, 1-2 years and I moved to Germany, I fell in love and I built myself a new life there. That's kind of when I was still taking medication, but then I wanted to see if I could come off it, you know, and the longer I was starting to then work with the illness and take better care of myself in all of these different ways. And this is a long way before the Wim Hof method, right? The thing we're excited to talk about.
Yeah.
But it was that piece of responsibility that, like, okay, what can I change here? Why do I need this medication? Okay, it's to help reduce inflammation. It's to help calm down what's out of balance in my body. So how can I bring my body into balance? And so there's a lot of self, you know, help books and for the mind, nutrition for the body. And I could talk about that for a long time, you know, but long story short, I managed to take such good care of my head and, well, mind and body, let's call it, maybe a little bit of the soul, that
falling in love helps too.
Depends what, again, that's a whole other podcast, I imagine, but is it love? Is it a healthy relationship, etc.? I mean, that woman, actually, she supported me and she was incredible. So I think, you know, support from friends and loved ones is a big help. So you don't feel it's like you're doing something on your own. Definitely.
Support groups. So there, and what happened then?
So then move forward, moved into a different part of Germany, new partner, new life, expanding in kind of my business and feeling more healthy in mind and body. And then I came off my medication, which is a big step. And
what did the doctor say about that?
They were cool with it. They were like, it's your decision. And it's not like sort of an antidepressant where there's a real risk, you know, of kind of dropping into a state of depression again. And it's a very difficult thing for a doctor to recommend legally. You know, that's a different thing. This was like, look, your body seems in a good place. So let's try it. And if you need to, you can come back, you know? So the doctor was pretty cool about that too and supportive because, medication is helpful for a time, right? But a doctor that insists you stay on it, I don't think there's doctors out there that, well, let's not get into that conversation. This one was cool.
Good. Good. So you get off the medication there?
Off the medication. And, you know, now we're kind of getting up to kind of 9, 10 years after being diagnosed, successful life, you know, super switched on in terms of superfoods, nutrition, you know, yoga, meditation, super fit, feeling great. But
and doing work, what was fulfilling?
Yeah, I was teaching language at that time and communication. So I was like working with people and helping people and pretty good at it. So yeah, meaningful work, and then started my own business from it, you know. So that was a great place. However, there were still limitations, you know, in terms of, okay, if I have a drink, that could set my stomach off, you know, if I eat the wrong thing. So there was always a risk, you know, and I still liked to drink and party, don't get me wrong, you know, still kind of late 20, early 30s then, enjoying my time in Germany. So there was still kind of a risk, and that was frustrating, because there were times when I would have some like raclette, you know, or something like that, and some cheese and bread. And I love cheese and bread and wine. It's, I think, the main reason we're here on earth, you know. and yet I would definitely get into trouble if I were to enjoy
your,
these
your body didn't agree with that idea.
It did not
at
you
that
know?
Time.
So there was still some residual inflammation in the body. And also I would have to be careful when I was fit, you know, I would still not be able to push my body too far. It was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Like you're healthy, but there's still limitations. So these were warning signs that I was pretty aware of.
Yeah.
And then a friend recommended, hey, if you listen to this podcast, there's this guy called Wim Hof. He's interesting, to say the least. And I discovered a podcast about Wim. This is probably 2015, 16. So it's before he was well known outside the Netherlands. I mean, you know him very well. I think most Dutch people have seen him over the years as kind of this freaky clown kind of character. And before the science came out anyway, you know, to back up his claims. So that's when I discovered it.
Yeah. So, and then, so because you were still a bit, afraid of eating everything you wanted, you watched out by pushing yourself too far physically. And that was not what you wanted. You wanted more freedom in a way.
For sure.
To do more freedom. Why you're here on earth, like eating raclette and drinking wine. Yeah.
I mean, that makes me sound terrible. Yeah.
No.
But with
normal.
To be sick, you know, to have a limitation on what you can do and what you can enjoy and how far you can push yourself, because you know there are consequences for your body and mind. That's tough, actually, you know. And it's it's not a small thing, I would say. I joke about the raclette and whatever, but you know, to go to a restaurant and because there was still stress in my life. I mean, we all have stress, right? And so the stress would then set off what was happening in my body. But I wasn't aware of that link at the time. So sometimes bread was fine, sometimes it wasn't. So there was always that, like, I don't, can I? And that wasn't fun. So then excuse me, discovering this Wim Hof podcast, watching the Vice documentary, it's very old now, but something in Wim, it was like, who is this? Like, I want something of what he has, you know. He was at the time, I came mid-50s and just free, right? Like a lot of us see him and go, wow, he's completely freeing himself. And so then I just bought this this 10-week online course. It was the only thing available back then. It was a very simple production. It's still available on his website, and I think it's more real somehow than the kind of more the newer versions personally, because it's just him, you know. And I did this 10-week course, which, you know, you do the breathing every day, and then they introduce cold showers getting longer and longer, you know, which I know that you're getting into now.
Yes,
but it was after like after 3 weeks of like this breath technique, it was just like, what's going on? The great feelings, during it, the hallucinations, the kind of almost psychedelic experiences, like, okay, cool. But like that on top of doing the cold showers, just, I just felt like a new human. And it gave me a connection to my body that I'd never cultivated before. And so instead of this thing called my belly, which was a problem, it was like, oh, suddenly there's a connection and an awareness, a felt sense, an embodied sense that was brand new. And my intuition suddenly was a lot more heightened. And just, you know, I had more energy and I could feel that my autoimmune disease and the inflammation had gone. And not with those words, but there was like, okay, something's definitely changed. And it was like, wow, you know? And I just, it was rich on turbo, you know? Life was amazing. Wow. And I was just...
So first you left yourself when you were 25, like you said, in a way, and then the autoimmune disease stepped into your life. And now there was a big switch. You went back to yourself, totally connected intuitively with your belly, with your gut feeling, your heart, and then the autoimmune disease left.
Exactly. It had no more reason to be there. And medically, we can talk about that and the Wim Hof method that's, you know, it's been shown to reduce inflammation. I mean, that's not a guarantee that anyone, and I've had too many conversations with people, and it's like, hey, calm down. This is not a solution. This is not a guarantee. You know, we need to be careful with that.
Well, you can experience yourself, because first he was known as the crazy guy. And even I thought that before. I loved watching him, but then it was like he is another species on Earth. And yeah, it's good to look at him, but yeah, it's not about me. But now, since a couple of weeks, I'm just, yeah, diving into the whole method and also his life with his book and watching his podcast or YouTube films from him and doing the method. So I can, yeah, just experience myself what happens. And also science is already, well, telling how it works in the body with blood research. So there is many of them worldwide. So he's not just another species on Earth. He is just one of us. And we are all the same in that way. So yeah, we can change a lot and find that power in ourselves back again with the breathing method and the cold water. I do it twice a day. And then I end with a little block around the corner here running twice a day for 2 weeks now. And mentally, I'm totally changed. It's like I am another human. I'm someone else now. Well, I'm back to who I was, maybe.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, because I had a lot of pressure on me privately for months, well, years maybe. It was a very tough time. The past three quarters a year, it was very tough. But now I just can just, yeah. I see my shoulders are going up like, yeah, well, that was that. Like, it's finished. It's unbelievable. A couple of weeks ago, I just had my mom on the phone and it was like I was crushing, you know, mentally. But I almost forgot. And now it's just silence in me and unbelievable. Yeah. So I'm very happy to feel myself what it is to dive in this, the breathing method. It becomes quiet in your head. Who doesn't want to have that? And then what happens physically? Yeah, it's a major, major change. So anxiety, thoughts of worry, it's all gone, gone. So what does that do for your body then? Because we are in so much stress these days. So many people are getting sick because of stress, inflammatory diseases. I think a lot of them exist because of the stress, the continuous. I mean, stress is good, but then those little moments that we need, but not continuously. And then the sleeping is getting worse and well, the whole cycle is going down. So where are we? Well, you know, go back to that root with the earth, open up to the spirits and be aligned and with the gut feeling, heart and mind in one line. And that's also how I help people right now as well, because that's what you want to do then. If you if you experience this, yeah, you want to help others because you see so many people struggling with this.
Yeah, similarly. I mean, when I had these experiences and just felt as incredible as I did and as you currently do, I was looking for a transition in my life and career to move beyond this company that I created to create more impact. You know, ultimately we need, I think in order to feel fulfilled in life, we need to find out how we are useful to other people. You know, it's not just about us, right? And there's nothing wrong with making money from that. You know, it's we have to find ways to sustain a living here. And so I reached out to the Wim Hof method and said, like, look, is there any kind of instructor course available? And sure enough, they were running the first round of international instructors. There were some Dutch guys or humans already kind of active in the Netherlands, but this was the first round of international instructors. And I got on the course and became one of the first instructors, you know, and I taught it in Germany. I taught it in Bali for a long time, first person to take it to China, you know, like it was, and to be able to spread the method, it was really powerful. You know, it's just to give people that shot of a shot in the arm almost, you know, for them to come out of it.
The right shot.
yeah. Quite.
The real one.
I mean, there's also how you do the method, I think is makes a lot of difference because if you want to get into that, you know, there's people that do it with such intensity, they'll feel, you know, like their head's just kind of taking them to Jupiter and back, and they'll feel like it's a peak experience. But then they get addicted to feeling that way. Whereas what I try to do in the way that I teach it is a bit softer and deeper. And most people, in fact, will say to me if they've tried it before, wow, okay, this feels different. Now I get it. Yeah. That was pretty cool. So I think each instructor has got their own style and it's based on their character. I have a good friend, a Dutch friend who teaches it. And he uses, you know, very dramatic kind of music, you know, and then that creates a very powerful experience for people. I insist on not having music because I want people to be completely undistracted by anything like that. And maybe at the end, a little kind of hang drum or something, if there's one around, just to bring people out again. But isn't the magic at the end of the experience when I stop guiding you, where you stop the breathing process and you drop into this deep state of relaxation and you go somewhere and there's a lot of healing that can happen there. There's just profound rest and release. Like that's kind of what excites me. And so how can we take people into that space or how can I take myself into that space? Mm-hmm. So, and yet, you know, what's required, maybe some deeper breathing is more intensity in the breathing as in your life is also required. So it's not either or. I think there's different approaches.
Yeah. I can see that. And for me, it helps to have an intention. So I make an intention for every week, sometimes a special one for a day. And for this week, it is I'm proud of myself. Well, just a bit different in the Netherlands. I mean, in Dutch. but it helps me to go on even if I don't want to. So if it's the afternoon, I do this whole thing twice a day. And I don't want to, like yesterday, I think about the intention again, I'm proud of myself. And then I just start doing the breathing and taking the cold shower and do that little run outside, just around the block. And then I feel proud of myself again, but not forcing like across borders. In a good way. So for me, it helps to put an intention as well. Do you do that too?
Actually, no, I'm someone no. that, because for me, I'm someone that is always overthinking and is always doing and is pushing to achieve something. And it's really important for me to learn to let go and to relax and to kind of receive, so to speak. And so the idea that, not to say that you're setting out to achieve, like I think what you're doing is beautiful, but my practice is just to kind of be open to experience and see what kind of comes up from an experience rather than set an intention. I think both approaches are really helpful though.
Yeah. For me, intentions are very strong and powerful. It also leads to other behavior. And I'm always into doing experiments in my life, of on a personal level, of behavior, thoughts, and feelings, and I also have the sometimes I do that too much, the analytic, just thinking and analyze all the things, and the breathing method helps me to be quiet and just experience and be. So I do less and I do more in a way.
Nice,
yeah,
really nice.
So what is your company now about? What are you doing now in Portugal? Because you work in companies as well.
Yeah, I do a mixture of coaching and facilitation. So whether it's helping men work with their emotional intelligence and help them have healthier relationships on a personal level, I also do that for women, but I'm just passionate about helping men because I think we need a helping hand in that area. And there's a big question of what masculinity or healthy masculinity means today. And so I do that on a personal level, as well as bring these kind of topics into companies. But actually, I'm a facilitator at heart. And so whether it's kind of doing mind-body work and developing that connection beyond the breath, so whether it's yoga, qigong, different forms of movement, so I offer retreats in that way for people. But in companies,
and in Portugal,
then,
or where do you offer retreats if people
everywhere.
Want to join?
Everywhere. I mean, you know, if you want me to be part of your retreat, then I'll come to you. I often do put retreats on in Denmark, for example, Bali. You know, it's wherever
all
there's
over
a
the
retreat
place.
Space and there are people that want to come.
Whenever
you know?
There's raclette and wine, then you are there. No, let's stop about that topic.
There isn't any in Bali, unfortunately. So, but yeah, that was a healthier time as well. I love to travel. Lisbon's my home. It's a base. I think it's important to feel that you have a home to explore from and come back to. But, you know, moving around, seeing different things, that's variety is the spice of life for me.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, just every time I hop on a plane, it's like potential and excitement. And
you
just
still make music too?
Different people. Less. I went through a period when I was doing the Wim Hof, and I was also, you know, doing a lot of therapy, and it released a lot of creativity and a lot of sadness. And so I created a lot of sort of very melancholy music. I wrote my own songs. I played them to my friends, which was an important step to just to get it out into the world. And luckily they said it wasn't rubbish.
Thank God.
Yeah, like, no, it's you know, it's nice music, and I like to sing and play for people sometimes. But I find my creativity in other outlets these days, you know. So it's almost like a creative.
Well, it's showing
human
up. I hear you saying
ways.
Like you're happy that they liked it, but it's also you said it because it's always a bit scary to show up in this creative ways with your voice or music. It's your creation, and it's always a bit scary, but it's why we're here, and what you do still is your creation from your company. Wonderful.
100%. I mean, going into organizations, and it sounds kind of quite corporate, but whether I'm doing rapid teaming, so helping teams function from the start or understand why they're underperforming, whether it's resilience trainings, embodied leadership, transformative communication, like this is what I'm really passionate about now, because ultimately it's helping humans understand themselves and each other to work in a better way together, to achieve a goal. Whatever, is that a relationship? Is that a project? You know what I mean? So it's human behavior ultimately that's what's really excites me. Yeah.
And bringing, I did this a couple of times a year still. And then I go outside like with 15 or 20 people from a company. And it's all about, the real connection with themselves, with nature, silence, showing up in the way you are without masks, in a safe feeling with each other. And I used to work on a coronary care unit as a nurse. Well, that's 25 years ago. And normally I start with this story, and then those men who are working in sales or they're all going inward. If I talk about that, men like them were my patients these days and had severe heart attacks, and there my passion comes from, to get them back into their heart again. So my coach clients are often the men who are just walking heads again and wanted to get connected back there, also with companies, but always outside. I never work inside anymore. Yeah, inside nice. In their bodies. Yeah.
Really nice.
Wow, it's good to meet you. And yeah, maybe we meet once, like in Denmark. Yeah, would be nice. So what is your well, if you reflect on this meeting for this podcast, what comes up in your mind?
I mean, I think I had really left behind the identity of someone that had overcome an autoimmune disease and, you know, told that story. I've told it so many times and I kind of was a bit like, well, you know, that was a part of my life and I don't want it to define me, you know, even the overcoming it, you know, it was a long time ago now. And yet from sharing it with you, it's been really nice just to kind of touch back in on that part of me that that did wake up and have some fire and say, what the hell? No to this situation, you know, because I think that part of us isn't always around all the time and it's not always around for me, you know. It's
and also maybe it's an idea to stop talking about like it's a disease, because that's also a label.
I'm quite happy with that label, actually. I'm quite happy. Yeah. I'm what else would you how else would you label it?
Well, it's like, no, I wouldn't label it. I would say it's a wake-up call, like you said. It's a wake-up call. Something is whispering or screaming for attention and to get aware and to find out what helps me to get more in balance. And now I found out.
I like that reframe. And I think, yeah, that's what I did. And I also
you did.
I also want to listen and trust doctors as well. I think where there's an either or approach I see and the people waiting too long to actually, you know, take the doctor's advice. Like it's a tricky one. I think it's a both and approach, you know? So it's like, okay, this is pretty serious. And yet does it mean that it's always going to be there forever? You know, it's like, it wasn't in my case and I'm grateful for that, but I'd never had an attachment to what was going
to
happen.
No, and I love your idea of how to work with it. And you did in a wonderful way. Wonderful story. Thanks for sharing, Richard. And if people want to find out where you are or where you go to find out your retreat, where can they find you? Make some promotion now. Take your time.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. I mean, my website's being upgraded, so there's nothing there at the moment. But my Instagram is, I'm there active, and it's Rich Realign. So that's kind of my company's name, to realign. It's, you know, just to come back to our center. And Rich Realign, you find me there. re-align.co is my website, and rich@realign.co is my email. So if anyone's got any questions or wants to find out more, there's also
you on LinkedIn, so you're on LinkedIn as well.
Yeah, I'm on LinkedIn, hanging around there. There's a half an hour video, free video on YouTube I made on you know, how I overcame this autoimmune disease, when I go into a bit more detail for people that have questions. So that's easy to find as well. Maybe I'll send you the link and you can put it in the show notes if you want, because
I will.
That answers a lot of questions for people too.
And if you visit the Netherlands once, you come to Haarlem, where I live, nearby Amsterdam, there is a raclette restaurant. So I will take you there with white wine. All right.
Sounds fantastic. You got yourself a deal.
Thank you very much, Richard.
Pleasure, Sandra. Take care of yourself.